Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Nick got appraised.
I saw the look of appraisal in his eyes.
And got Jake's seal of approval.
There's nothing wrong with the size of your cock. Jake Barnes, Saint-Laurent-sur-Mer, May 11th. Dear Nick, into each life a little shit must fall. You will not believe what's gone on since you so blithely dropped me off at the shore a few days ago. You'll have guessed that my rendezvous was with a lady. There are ramifications and implications and complications and sidebars that I may tell you about someday, but not now, when you're older. Suffice it to say, I was looking forward with an uncommon anticipation to getting laid, and so was the lady. She never arrived. I waited at the Auberge Aubert until close to sunset, and then I liberated a bottle of whiskey from the bar and walked down to Omaha Beach. I had not been there in almost 10 years. It was a warm evening, and it was very fine outside, and there were smells of cooking from the houses, and the whiskey burned, and it tasted good even if the lady wasn't there. But the beach was not empty. It was alive with soldiers who jumped off landing craft with their rifles held over their heads and struggled through the surf and up onto sand that was churning with bombs and mortar shells. I could smell the explosives and hear their thunder and feel the impact of the shocks of the explosions and hear the shouts of the men and their screams. They were there, and they were real, and I was the ghost among them. I sat on a dune. I watched the troops storm the beach. I watched the assault and felt the shells and the bombs exploding around them and all around me. And I drank the whiskey I had brought with me, and I thought about the lady who had not arrived. And I wondered what had happened to her and why the bombs and the whiskey were not having any effect on her. A man was walking towards me across the sand. He wore a hat and a trench coat that was belted around the middle. He did not look very much different than he looked 30 years ago, except that he had not worn the hat and the trench coat then. Hello, Robert. What brings you here?
Hello, Jake. Long time.
Maybe not long enough.
I've come to take you down, Jake.
Well, have a drink.
I mean it, Jake.
Have a drink anyway. Mud in your eye.
Look out there. That's Africa.
Where?
That way.
It's west. That's New York. Africa's down to the left. You have to get past Spain, something you were never able to do, by the way.
Well, that's where you're going.
New York?
Africa.
Can't, Robert. I've got a date with a lady. Here, give me that bottle back. We'll go shooting in Africa some other time.
There'll be shooting, but I'm not going with you. I'm sending you.
A gun, Robert? You used to use other weapons, like tennis and bad writing.
It's all arranged, Jake. I'm delivering you to a guy who recruits for the French Foreign Legion. He'll be in Algiers in a couple of days. Sorry, you're getting to be too big a problem.
Well, I guess that should be taken as a compliment. Ooh! I woke up in the dark, and I found that my hands were tied behind my back, and my ankles were bound, too. It felt like I was in the trunk of a car, and the car was moving.
Dear Roy, boy, your uncle is crazy. So are you, for that matter. All you cones are nutso. Look, You better get me out of the army, or I've got some things I could tell that a few people might be interested in. Especially about your Uncle Robert, let me tell you. Oh, you'd be interested to know that your Uncle Robert has joined the French Foreign Legion. I played a small part in his decision. Well, maybe not so small, but he had it coming. Do you know what he did to me? First, he calls me and tells me to hire a car and pick him up at the Orly Airport in Paris. And he says we're going to go stop Barnes. So I pick him up. He was kind of spazzing out, you know, and talking a mile a minute. So we drove a while, and then he said,
"Give me the map. I want to look at the map."
"What map?"
"The map. Didn't you get a map?"
"Why would I get a map?"
"You stupid fairy. Pull into that gas station up ahead. We'll get a map there."
"It's not a gas station. Look at the sign. All they have is essence."
"Just stop. Now get a map."
"Why me?"
"Just do it."
"Uh-uh. You do it. You speak it a frog. You get it a map."
"Oh, for Christ's sake."
"If the nightingale could sing like you, he'd sing much sweeter than you do. You brought him." "Where's the map?"
"Shut up. They gave me directions."
"So, where are we going?"
"Just shut up and drive."
So, we're driving along and he keeps telling me, "Okay, take a right here and take a left there," and on, and he falls asleep. Next thing you know, we're in this town and there's a cathedral, and your uncle is saying, "So, that's Rouen's, the famous Cathedral of Rouen's. And Davy, my lad, it would be good for you to see it because it's very famous, and Monet painted it." I didn't see why that was such a big deal, because everything over here is ruins. But we get out, and it turns out it's not ruins, it's fucking Orleans, where Joan of Arc and Louis Armstrong come from, and which is in 100% the wrong direction. So we turn around, and we head the other way, and boy, was your uncle pissed. But he couldn't make it out to be my fault, even though he tried. And when I asked him about stopping Barnes, I mean stopping him how, he got all silent with me. So anyway, we lost a day and we wound up having to spend the night in this jerkwater town en route in this little dump where they only had one room in it and one double bed. So we had fun anyway, but in the morning, your uncle gets all weird on me and he tells me,
"Don't move. I want to remember you just the way you are."
"What do you mean, remember?"
"Just kidding, Davy boy. Lie still. I want to try something a little different."
"With those ropes? Well, sure, I guess so. Daddy, I mean, Roy, has this game."
"Never
where..."
"Mind about Roy. Spread out your arms and legs."
"Now what are you doing? Those are my best purple underpants."
"So long, Davy."
Okay, I mean, I like games, but after a couple of hours, I'm starting to think maybe this ain't no game. So I start struggling and thumping the bed and trying to spit out the goddamn underpants, but I'm not getting anywhere and nobody seems to notice except once I heard someone yell in French. Who knows what it meant, but probably shut the fuck up. And then a while later, the maid sticks her head in the room and sees me tied spread eagle, naked, on the bed, and she just kind of shrugs and shuts the door. So I'm lying there trying to figure out what to do, and I hear a car pull up outside, and this voice say,
"Excuse me, parlez-vous anglais?"
And I think, holy crap, I know that voice. And I make a mighty goddamn effort and spit out the undies, and I scream, "Christine!"
"Who's there?"
"Christine, it's Davy! Help! Up here!"
"Oh, Davy! Mademoiselle, un couteau, s'il vous plaît? Davy, what happened to you? Did your daddy do this?"
"No, it wasn't Daddy. It was Daddy's uncle, thank you very much."
"Daddy's uncle? There, you're free. Daddy's uncle, what on earth were you doing with him?"
"I don't know. I wish nothing. He asked me to drive for him. He was going to St. Lawrence to get some guy named Barnes."
"Jake Barnes?"
"That's the guy, the communist."
"He's not a communist, you knucklehead. What did he mean, get him?"
"I don't know. He didn't say. He had a gun."
"Oh no, I've got to get to him."
"Take me with you?"
"Get dressed fast. No, bring your clothes. You can dress in the car."
"Wait."
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grossen. Featured in the cast were Alan Arkin as Jake Barnes, Ally McGraw as Christine Jorgensen, Jonathan Richards as Robert Cohn, and Darren Dunbar as Davy Shine. Tune in next time to hear Christine say,
"I was going to rescue you, but I'm not used to high heels yet."